Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now, here's James Golden.
Welcome, my friends, to the I Can't Believe Already, once again, yeah, it happened fast, it's Friday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. I'm going to embarrass one of the members of the staff by asking a simple question. Jonas, what in school, what did you learn about today's date, June the 6th?
You're talking about D-Day?
Thank God. Thank God. Do you know what it was?
Yes.
You got the date. Do you know what it was?
It was probably the most... The most important day as far as us winning World War II. It was an attack
in Normandy.
And
why was it the most important day?
Because it was pivotal in us defeating Germany. Because Germany. Oh,
don't
had
give
that
me
part
the pablum answer. You don't have AI in front of you. Because it was pivotal in us. Why was it pivotal? Never mind. You did better than I expected.
It's funny. I knew you were going to ask me too. I had a feeling.
You had a feeling. Dean Karyanis is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He is, of course, the official historian for not only Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour, but for our Saturday Morning Vibe. Dean, as many of you know, is a alumni of the Rush Limbaugh program. He was one of Rush Limbaugh's web producers. He is a brilliant columnist. He runs a website, historyauthor.com. He is also an author himself. Things, too, not just history, but also a cuisine. And he's just an amazing guy all around. Dear friend. Love him like you can't believe. Dean, let me ask you the question. What happened 81 years ago today?
I think Jonas deserves some applause, because that's probably more than you get out of members of Congress, much less a lot of people in a radio studio. So, and I'm glad to see some traditions live on. Here it is Friday, and you're still lowering the quality for callers and having me on for an open line Friday style call. But we're here to enable the joke today, I guess. It's because of the service of these battles and these veterans of World War II and so many others. But this is a day where we focus on them. But I decided in my column at the New York Sun today, that people can go read at mysun.com, and you're so kind, you share things like that on Twitter, but to think about all the Hollywood stars, because those stories have been a little bit reduced to, oh, hey, here's some trivia that Scotty from Star Trek, and of course he was a real man. His name wasn't Scotty. He wasn't even Scottish. He was Canadian, James Doohan, the craziest man in the Canadian Air Force, they called him. He did some really crazy things during his service, and he was shot by one of his own men there at the beach, lost a finger. You had Henry Fonda, who said, I'm going to enlist because I don't want to just be a guy who's fake in a war studio. You had a lot of people, and I thought the connection is today we see Hollywood, many people, is just so out of touch. It's a career, and the difference is that these people, the Americans of the 1940s, of World War II, they had this shared experience. They remembered where they were on D-Day as much as they did on Pearl Harbor Day. And they made all these sacrifices, and they brought them home, and they could identify with the people in the theater. And the people in the theater could identify with the people on the silver screen, because they had such a shared experience. And I thought, that's a good thing to write about today that would maybe bring people a little together. And I've written a few columns now about trying to get Hollywood to get them back to being the cultural force that they were, because they did so much great for America, particularly in that post-war era when then we have the Cold War.
And there were so many. I mean, some of the British actors as well. I mean, their country was, of course, hanging in the balance. Sir Alec Guinness helped land a troop plane on the Atlantic Wall. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., Hollywood, led a platoon into combat. That had to be one of the scariest things of his life at Utah Beach. And they pushed into France during Operation Cobra. You mentioned James Doohan, Star Trek, injured when a sentry mistook him from a German friendly fire. David Niven, who used to be one of my favorite actors when I was a kid, served. And Churchill told him, before he became the UK Prime Minister, you did a fine thing to give up your film career to fight for your country. But had you not done so, it would have been despicable. And so many others. And I just love your column, so I wanted to lead off with it and just say, you know, the number of men and women in our armed services now who were alive during D-Day are rapidly diminishing. But this was not just a pivotal day for the United States. This was a pivotal day for the world. This was probably, there has been never, and we are never likely to see this because of the advancement of weaponry. This was the largest single effort in terms of logistics, the number of troops that were moved, the surprise element, and so many movies have been written about that, the planning of this, it to actually America and the forces of the Allied powers to invade Germany, and which, of course, signaled the beginning of the end for World War II. It is something that the American people ought to keep as one of their national treasures as long as there is an America.
Yeah, amen. Because we don't have to do those things. And when you can move people with words, and I take seriously what you said about my writing, and I appreciate it, of course, but I feel I owe it, and I feel we all owe it, whatever our talents are, whatever our job is, whatever our career, to remember them in the best way that we can. And it's too bad that Hollywood doesn't have people who think that way anymore, or that are able to, just because they don't have the shared experience. But after the war, you had even David Niven. I watched The Guns of Navarone the other day because I watched the recent movie Warfare, which was great. And here's a former Navy SEAL that produced and co-wrote or directed and co-wrote a movie, and so realistic, really blew me away. It's realism, and I don't mean gore, but realism. And David Niven was one of those guys that he's the conscience of that movie, The Guns of Navarone. And then you had, and actually Gregory Peck was looking for an anti-war message in it. So it's not as if, oh, they were all the same and they all agreed and they were all jingoistic or whatever people want to say. They had to fight the wars. And many people who do fight those wars, it doesn't mean that they hate the country, but that they wish to avoid them. Often they'll tell you the way is to be strong. I interviewed a 100-year-old, I think he was 103 at the time, Pearl Harbor veteran on the History Author show. And you can find that at historyauthor.com. And he said, keep strong. Keep America strong. That's the way. And that's what happened on Pearl Harbor. They thought we were weak. And then you have to go later and do something like the Normandy invasion. And it's not something that would be necessary. People understood the cost beforehand. And I think we're much stronger. You know, no one ever, there's a reason lions have teeth and claws, right? People don't mess with them because they do. If they didn't, you know, then you'd eat them.
Boom. Dane, thank you so much for joining us, starting the show with us today. It is, people should look at the column, your New York Sun, NewYorkSun.com, Dean Karyanis, HistoryAuthor.com. Thank you so much, Dean.
Thank you, James. Have a good day. And good job again, Jonas.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.